Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Hallelujah, Father, we're so thankful that we have this opportunity. And we just consecrate this whole convergence to you, Lord. We've got plans and schedules and all kinds of details organized, Lord. But we come now in the name of Jesus and we yield it into your hands. And we declare, Lord, that your name be glorified, Lord. That your kingdom be established. That your glory be manifested, Lord. That as we gather, Lord, that yes, the fellowship's going to be amazing, and yes, the teaching's going to be great, and yes, the times together and the children's conference, everything will be amazing, Lord. But at the end of the day, we come together to meet with you, Lord, to know you more, to see your will. It was a great blessing. All right. One of the images that we see a lot of in Scripture is the one of the builder. We see that a lot, right? Building and construction. And the other one is a lot that we see a lot is that of the farmer or agriculture. A lot of agricultural images and analogies, etc. And I was so encouraged recently by a bunch of these. When we look at modern farming, it's incredibly high tech these days. Have you been in one of those new harvesters or those combine things, or even the simple tractors these days are not simple. They can basically drive themselves, and you know, they work with GPSs. They get told where to go by these satellites, and you can basically inside there it's like a little office. You can sit there and check your emails and do your thing, and this thing drives itself. No, I'm not joking. It's for real. And so incredibly high-tech, very scientific, obviously, and incredible advancements in technology going into farming these days. But when you get to the bottom of it, it's still faith needed, isn't it, for farming? I mean, look at the weather we're having at the moment. Hallelujah. I don't know if anybody planned for that. But so in a bunch of these principles we can look at, the underlying one is that we put our trust in Him. Put our trust in God. And so I just want to pull out a couple of these principles and just trust that we're going to be encouraged as we join the Lord of the harvest. He is the Lord of the harvest. Whether it's a harvest of souls we're talking about, whether it's a harvest of, you know, the work that you're putting in at your workplace or what you're investing into your children, He is the Lord of the harvest. So I want to first start with this promise that we receive in Genesis chapter 8. And this is where the floods passed and they're back onto dry ground. And this is part of the promise. We know when the Lord put the rainbow in the sky and He made this promise that He will never again destroy the earth in that similar way. And then what He also says, and He promises, He says that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And He is making a promise that these principles will remain. These constants will remain. As long as the earth remains, these constants will be in place. We can be confident that He is faithful in these things. And these principles that we're looking at this morning are basically laws. They are principles that, whether you believe in them or not, are true. It's like gravity. You know, whether you believe in gravity or you don't believe in gravity, it's going to be applicable to your life, right? And a lot of these principles are spiritual laws, and the Lord says He commits Himself to these principles, and we can trust in His faithfulness in these things. Okay, so firstly, the first law I'm going to look at is the law of sowing and reaping. All right, do we know about this one? Galatians 6, verse 7. He says there, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. And I mean, this is a well-known scripture and we love quoting it. But I want to just this morning encourage us that there's a lot of things around life, whether it be in your workplace or when you be in relationships, that it takes time. It takes a bit of pushing through. It takes a bit of endurance, right? And if you've ever planted anything, sometimes there's a season of waiting in there, right? There's a season of patience that's needed. And I was telling my wife the other day that we should actually get the kids to plant some vegetables or something, or just, you know, encourage them to go through that process of sowing something and then having to wait. That healthy patience, you know, delayed gratification, waiting and saying, okay, it's not instant. It's not 10 minutes that's there, the delivery, although their delivery isn't that fast. But I remember the first time we were still in England, when we ordered something on a Saturday night, and we were like, oh, when is it going to arrive? And on a Sunday morning early, somebody knocked on our door and delivered the package. And we were like, what is this guy doing? Why? How is this possible? Anyways, so, that's what the world would be used to. But that principle of having to think about what are you going to sow? What are you going to invest? Whether it be in a relationship or in your work, what is it that you're going to put in the ground and know that this will bear fruit of some sort? So don't just put anything in the ground, all right? Think about what is it that you want to put in the ground. What is it that you want to invest in your career, in your workplace, in your children? Because that what you're going to put in is the fruit that you're going to see at the end. Amen? So, and this takes a bit of thinking, this takes a bit of consideration to say, what is the fruit that I want to see at the end of the season? You know, Abigail's on her way to high school, and it's just, you know, we joke, and there's a cliche of things go so fast, but I promise you, she was in grade one just the other day. And now we're going into a different season in our parenting because our relationship with Abigail is changing. So already we see some of the good fruit and some of the not so good fruit. But luckily we can change some of it already with the youngest one, right? Because we can learn from our mistakes. Hallelujah. But so the oldest children in the room, just have grace on your parents because sometimes all the mistakes happen with the first one. Anyway. But by the grace of God, they're going to be okay. So, but, you know, to think, okay, what is the thing that I want to see at the end of the season? What is the fruit that I am looking out for? I'm really trusting God for. Because sometimes the good fruit that we're looking for is not always the easiest seed to cultivate. No, weeds grow great. Have you seen how quickly weeds grow? Amazing. You don't have to pay a lot of attention. They sow themselves. They just go for it. You know, you don't have to pay a lot of attention to grow weeds. But for the good fruit, the real good crops, the stuff that matters, the fruit that is eternal and that lasts, that's going to leave a legacy, that fruit requires specific seed and requires thoughtfulness and patience and a lot of prayer and a lot of grace. Amen. So think about that. Pray, wrestle with God about what is it that you want to produce. And in terms of us as people, when we procreate, you know, you produce according to your own kind, right? You can't produce something that you don't have in you. And similarly, when it comes to investing into others, investing in your children or into relationships, what is in us will be reproduced. So that again comes back to, okay, what do I need to trust God for growth in my own life? Because that's going to be what's going to be reproduced. Amen. Okay, so we're sowing and we're reaping, and I want to look at this. The thing that's important about sowing is timing. And Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 says, "Yeah, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they will never harvest." So that's the kind of the other side of the coin, is that some of the seed that we need to sow is the everyday, like the faithfulness of the everyday things. You can't wait till we conditions are 100% before stepping out in faith. You can't, you know, maybe there's something the Lord is laying on your heart. Maybe it's laying on your heart to reach out to your neighbor or to start a business or whatever. Something that God is speaking to you about, and you're hanging on, say, "Oh, but that's not right. The timing isn't good, or the things aren't perfect yet." Or people tell me, "No, they're saving before they have children. They just want to make sure, you know, financially they're good." I just laugh and say, "Oh, yeah, that you'll never have kids if you if you wait till you can afford to have kids." But so there's some things we need to say, "Okay, Lord, you're speaking to me. You're laying something on my heart. I'm going to step out in faith, even though things are not perfect. The conditions are not perfect." The, there's a place where we need to step out in faith and say, "God, I'm going to start. I'm going to trust, and I'm going to put my faith in you, and I'm going to start sowing. I'm going to prepare the ground. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to put things in place, and I'm trusting God to do his part," right? And the good thing about us, when we talk about sowing the seed of the word, when we sow into people's lives around us, when we invest into lives, the good thing about that is that we can be confident in the seed that we are sowing, the seed of the gospel, because that is good seed. Because that's the other challenge, is if you're sowing dodgy seed, then you're going to get dodgy fruit. So, but when we are sowing the seed of the gospel, when we are sowing the seed of the word and the good news into people's lives, we can be confident that this is good seed. This is, the scripture calls it incorruptible seed, and it will accomplish what God sent it out to do. That Bible that Luanne gave that guy, it will bear fruit. Amen. Those words and that power that is in the word, it will bear fruit. We can be confident in that. And that is, just as an aside, that is part of the reason why when we invest time in the scripture, when we invest time in the presence of God, we will see the fruit. There's time that you spend, there's time that you invest, there's time that you sow in the word and in prayer. The fruit will not be instantaneous, but the fruit will be good. Amen. So don't get weary of sowing that daily time in his presence, time in the scripture, time in the word. You know, when we advertise Bible school, it's always a wrestle, you know. People, "Oh, but it's a lot, it's a commitment." You know, having all those Tuesday nights, it's a commitment of time. But to see the life change at the end of a season or the end of the year, people realize, wow, it's actually such a small commitment. And it was, the fruit is so good. And then it's a no-brainer that we will see me next year. And that's how it works with those daily commitments to the word. And when you say, "I'm going to set this time aside, I'm going to sow, I'm going to invest, and I'm trusting God to see the fruit." So be conscious of where you are sowing. Be conscious of where you're investing your time. And know that he's not mocked. You will reap a good crop. Amen. They tell me some of these trees, I think we planted a avo tree. They tell me we have to wait 5 years for avos. Eh? I like avos, but 5 years is a long time. Eh? But it goes quickly. But sometimes the fruit that we sow and in obedience, that we the steps of obedience we take, we don't see the fruit immediately. So sometimes there is that waiting period, and I want to encourage you, do not stop looking after that avo tree, right? Don't get discouraged. If God has put something on your heart, you're investing into a relationship or at work, or a colleague at work, it's not born again, or you're praying for somebody, don't lose heart. Sometimes the good fruit come later. I told you about my friend, and since he's got born again, I should be careful what I say in the sermons, because he probably listens to some of them. But my good friend from school, his life has been turned upside down. And I'm so encouraged by, over many years, we were from standard 6 together, what is it, grade 8 now. And there was a lot of sowing and a lot of prayer, but to see the power of what God is doing in his life right now, it blows my mind. And it's so encouraging. Do not give up. That person that you're praying for that you think, yo, this person, maybe they're beyond the grace of God. Maybe they just, it's not possible. It is possible. Don't give up. I mean, keep praying. Keep interceding and keep standing in faith for them. All right. And I just want to quickly refer to the parable of the sower. I'm not going to read it now. But one of the interesting things when we think about the sowing, because it talks about all the places where the seed falls. You remember? It talks about some seed falling on the road, some of it in the weeds, some of it there, some of it on the rocky ground, some of it falls on good soil. But this sower is going ballistic. Do you think that he's just going for it? You know, it's like, just be careful, man. This is like, but that's the one place when we are sowing the seed of the gospel, we can go ballistic because we don't have a limit on the seed. Are you with me? You can go and seed indiscriminately, sow indiscriminately because we have enough. So when you're sowing the gospel, don't hold back because you never know that seed, even among the meat, you never know. There might be fruit there. So go for it. Don't hold back. Don't wait till the perfect conditions. Go for it and sow when you're sowing the scripture, when you're sowing the word, when you're sowing in prayer. Don't hold back. Okay. Right. Proverbs 20, verse 4 says, "The sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing." So that's the other side. You know, And I was just chatting to Heinrich this week. We went for a cycle, and I was chatting at the beginning of the cycle, and by the end, he was doing most of the talking because I had to focus on breathing and surviving. But so the one thing we said is that it says as if there's this pressure on the younger generation to make it big while they're still young, make a lot of money without a lot of effort. Have you seen this kind of, I don't know, maybe it's pressure / expectation on themselves to be rich, but without the hard work. Some kind of shortcut, some kind of clever thing. And obviously it does happen from time to time. But it's as if there's this thing of, maybe I can find a shortcut. And everybody's looking for the shortcuts. Nobody's willing to go the long haul, the tough, hard work, steady, plodding, investing. Are you with me? And I want to encourage us that when it comes to spiritual things specifically, but mostly most things, significant change and good fruit comes with time and comes with the right ingredients and the right conditions and the right input. It doesn't happen by accident. The weeds happen by accident. They just go. But the good stuff is not by accident. Okay. Sow in prayer. Keep sowing. Keep investing. All right. Okay. So we spoke about patience. And one of the things that came up, even in our prayer beforehand, is sometimes there are weeds we have to deal with. All right. And if you realize that maybe in your early days or in the past, you have sown not so good seed. And so now you might be dealing with some weeds. Don't ignore the weeds. Okay? Don't be condemned by them either. We all have them. Trust God for his healing and his deliverance, but also for wisdom. Say, Lord, I want to get rid of the stuff that's in my life that's not of you. The fruit that is here, that is not bringing glory to God, I want to trust God to bring healing and restoration. That's why we have the encounter series, that we have why we have Bible school, that's why we have small groups, that we can walk this road together, right? That we can say, okay, there is fruit here that's not great. There's some weeds in between. So let's just trust the Lord to get some, you know, what's the name for that, you know, get some weeding done, get out the weeds. And the challenge is before the fruit is there, you're not sure which is the flower, which are the weeds. You know, when we were small, we helped my dad in the garden, and sometimes things didn't go well. Then we'd pull out the wrong things, you know, they'd be in trouble. But so trust for that wisdom. Say, okay, Lord, there are some things from the past that I need to deal with. Don't ignore them, because they're going to drown out and have an influence on the good seed that's coming up. So trust the Lord for that. Walk that process of healing and restoration. If you haven't gotten a chance to be a part or attend the Encounter series, make time. Talk to some guys that have done it recently. You will not be sorry. There's good fruit, and we can get rid of some of those weeds. Let's look at. Let's go back to Galatians 6. Just want to read the second part of that passage. From verse 9, it says, let us not grow weary of doing good. Let's not grow weary of putting in that time. Let's not grow weary of the early mornings. Let's not grow weary of doing the hard things. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let's do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do not grow weary of doing good. Do not grow weary of sowing. Do not grow weary of doing the difficult things. You know, maybe parents out there that are disciplining a toddler, do not grow weary. Because the reward isn't immediate. But if we do not give up, we will reap. Amen. I've spoken to so many, and we experience the same. There's that one point where you're feeling, I'm disciplining this child the whole time, all day. And you know, you feel like a tyrant at the end of it. You feel like, what? And you're so emotionally drained. But if you just don't give up. And so often I've heard that it's just like, sometimes it feels like just like one day there's a massive shift if you don't give up. Hang in there, right? Let us not grow weary. One of the fondest memories I have was with my uncle who's passed away. When we visited on the farm, you know, that would be holiday for us, but not holiday for the farmer, right? But then he would be up at 4 and he'd be out in the bucky and amongst the cattle and checking everything out. And I would drag myself out of bed with this very, very, very sorry for myself that I have to get up so early in the holiday. But I'd always be so happy afterwards, because there's something in just being part of that early in the morning, every morning. Before the sun comes up, he's there. He's amongst the cattle. He's checking things out. He's doing the hard things. Nobody sees that. There's nobody giving him a high five, telling him, well done. It's often the things that are happening in secret, the hard things, the things that nobody applauds you, those are often the things that bear the best fruit, when we're faithful with those things. Amen? Don't give up. Don't grow weary. In due season, there will be fruit. There will be reward. Okay. There's when we started with the school where we are at, where the kids are at now. You know, it's a whole new community, so it's no overnight fruit of relationships. You have to invest some time, and I was involved with the Biliki rugby. Many of you know, if you ever have trusting to grow in patience, that's a good place. You know, if you could coach toddlers. In any case, but we formed a lot of relationship with parents next to the sports fields, and now we realize we've been there 8 years, and now there's fruit. We've invested in relationships. We've prayed. There've been doors opening for ministry at the school. The other day, I was just working with some of the teachers amongst the grade 6 boys, and we're kind of working through a bit of a program with them. dealing with some identity challenges and some just, you know, self-image, all of that stuff. And then they arranged for me to come and chat to the guys. And when I arrived there, they said, oh, they changed their mind. It's going to be all the boys of the seniors from grade 4 to grade 7. But such great opportunities to minister to boys that are in that very impressionable stage. But it's not didn't come overnight, right? We have a prayer group going, and Jacques, one of the guys, is away on holiday. It's in church with us. We, at the prayer group there, every Tuesday, faithfully doing the thing when nobody sees, but God is the one that brings the increase. He's the one that brings the fruit. We can sow and we can water, but He brings the increase. And I think I'm going to read that just in a moment. But and I just want to, Jock's not even here, but I want to honor him. He had this thing in his heart that he wants to pray for the teachers on their birthday. And that's a tough ask. Because they're 70 plus, staff. And he prays for everyone on their birthday. He's a busy man, you know. He prays a lot. And he doesn't only pray, he trusts God for scripture, he writes it down, and he delivers it to them, and he trusts that for a word to speak into their life. And the fruit is amazing. But it's hard work. Are you with me? But I just want to honor Jock for that. He's not here, just to give him a high five when you see him. But what a blessing. He's had this on his heart. He's faithfully sown. It's not been easy always, but there's fruit because God is ministering to those staff members. Amen. Okay. Now let's read the scripture that I was referring to now. 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters in anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We look to Him to bring the growth. I mean, we are faithful in our sowing. We're faithful in our watering. We're faithful, and God is the one that brings the growth. And I don't know, maybe this is for somebody in your workplace. Maybe you're feeling like you're putting in a lot, but you don't see the fruit yet. Don't just give up. I mean, He is the one that brings the increase. He is the one that brings fruit, and He is the one that brings growth. Hang in there. Obviously, listen to His voice and trust Him for direction. Allow the Holy Spirit to direct you, but hang in there. He is the one that brings the growth. And there's what we see here is there's one that was sowing, there's one that was watering. And I want to say something that in terms of the farming, you know, picture, the community is very important. The community around you is very important. Even in a farming context, it's so much better if everybody kind of looks out for one another, especially if it comes to the negative things, the challenges like the, you know, maybe felt fires or stuff like that. When the community works together, stuff like that is more manageable. In a similar way, I want to encourage us that don't isolate yourself. Some of the growing and the cultivating that you need to do, you need other people's perspective to help you. Whether we like it or not, guys, we all have blind spots. Is there anybody here that doesn't suffer from blind spots? When I was driving with the Fortuner, which is quite a large vehicle. And I saw this little polo key here in front of me, and I realized this person can't see me. You know, sometimes you just the way that you drive, you can see, okay, this person. And they were busy changing lanes, and then praise the Lord, at the last moment they did see me, and they got a massive fright, and they almost, jerked back. But we have them. We have blind spots, right? And sometimes you look in your blind spot and you realize there's a bus there. You know, there's a huge thing. But we all have the blind spots. And I want to encourage us, don't isolate yourself. You need somebody to help you to see those blind spots. Obviously, when you're married, you have somebody helping out with that on a regular basis. But even then, you know, do it with grace, do it with compassion, and pray for one another. Amen. But if you're not in a small group, if you're not in a context where there are believers around you that love you and that look out for you, we need that. You know, I found that sometimes the key to the breakthrough, the key to the fruit, the key to the going into the next season will come from somebody that, something you didn't see, something you've been missing. Sometimes that one thing that you need to break through has to come from somebody else. So let's humble ourselves. Let's open our hearts. Let's trust the Lord for people around us that can have godly influence and godly perspective and give us godly wisdom and direction at the right time. Are you with me? All right. And then I just felt there's some of us here that are wrestling through something and you feel that your situation is unique. And you feel like nobody will understand or nobody will relate because of this thing that you're wrestling through is so unique. And I want to challenge you on that even though it sometimes feels like that, that is one of the schemes the enemy uses for us to stay isolated in a specific thing that we challenge with. Even if it feels unique, share it. Even if you feel the other person might not have the specific answer, share it and ask for prayer. But that humbling of ourselves, saying, I need God's grace. When we humble ourselves, that opens the door to the grace of God. And so don't isolate yourself. Even if you feel nobody will understand, take that bold step and share. Take that bold step. Look, Lord, I need somebody to water here. I've sown a lot, but I need some cooperation here, some collaboration. All right. Open our hearts to that input. All right. And then I want to just close with these two scriptures. This one, we see the heart of Christ. Matthew 9:35 and from 35, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of the area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." I want to encourage you, whether it be in your children's lives, whether it be at work, whether it be in the community where you live, trust the Lord to see with his eyes, to see with compassion, to notice those that really need him, need a shepherd. Amen. And at the same time, make a decision to say, "Lord, I want to join you as the Lord of the harvest. I want to be a part of what you're doing in the harvest field." It can start at something like small, like Live Village, just a day out. Something small like going to a small group and joining and praying for your school or for your workplace. It can start small, but there's something that happens in our faith when we choose to be a part of what God is doing, except that just being part of our own plan. Amen. And we choose to say, "Lord, I'm trusting you as the Lord of the harvest. For harvest in my family, for harvest amongst my colleagues, trusting to sow good seed there. And I'm trusting that we would be moved with compassion, even as we prepare for convergence, that similar, our eyes will not be just on a conference, but our eyes would be on what is God doing among the nations? What is God doing in our nation? How can I be part of that? How can I be mobilized to run with him in that?" And then I got one scripture that I want to just read for us, which I don't have on the screen there. Psalm 126. verse 6 here. He says, actually reading from verse 5, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seeds for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalm 126, verse 6. And guys, the reality is that sometimes there's a lot of weeping involved in the season of sowing. Especially in the season where it seems like nothing is happening. All the growth is happening underground, right? All the stuff that's happening is underground. Nothing is visible above ground yet. There's weeping. There's difficult seasons. You know, parents, maybe in your workplace, there's seasons where there's weeping and there's difficult things that we have to go through. But I want to encourage you that God is not mocked. Hang in there. Push through. Keep on sowing the good seed. Keep on sowing the seed of the gospel. And doubtless there will be a good reward. There will be a good harvest. And I feel this morning that for some of us, it's going to take the first step to say, Lord, I want to trust with you for the harvest at my workplace or in my family. Maybe you're the only one that's a believer in your family. You feel overwhelmed. Then guess what? Then God has put you there for a very specific reason. Maybe the only believer in your workplace, or it feels like that, God has put you there for a specific reason. Maybe it feels like you're the only believer in your street. So you look at other people behave themselves there, but you are there to be salt and light. And I want to challenge you, don't give up. Keep on sowing, even if it's in weeping and in tears in some stages. That there will be a reward, there will be a harvest, and there will be good fruit because God is faithful. Amen. Let's stand this morning. We're going to just spend some time praying.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.